What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Rock Live Podcast. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hello.
For another episode. We are coming up on 1 year here very quickly. I think this might be episode 49, if I'm not mistaken. So it's like...
When did we start?
I don't know.
You said a year, so I mean, is it...
49 weeks ago.
Well...
Weeks in a row.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So at 52...
Yeah. We should do something special. Let's come up with a surprise. Well...
Put it in the comment section what you'd like to see for the 1 year.
Yeah, I think that'd be
anniversary
fun.
Podcast.
I think we could think of something.
Birthday cake.
Yeah.
Hats.
Oh yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be cool.
What do you do for your anniversary? Let us know.
Oh, what is the anniversary? Is it paper? I bet it's something that.
Is that like the?
We every year there's something.
So we know when it's 50, it's gold, right?
Yeah, week 50. Or is it like, hey,
diamond? I don't know.
Well, this week, Pastor Dan. Well, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Really good.
How was your morning?
So far, so I was driving in this morning. Yeah. I saw the billboard. It's going up. So this week's podcast is brought to you by Easter, which is coming up.
Wow. How many do we know? I know Mardi Gras started. I saw like some social media
stuff.
But that's like the count. Like the reason why I know that is because it's like Fat Tuesday is the... It's Easter related because it's like Mardi Gras starts on Fat Tuesday, which is like the beginning of Lent, I think.
Oh,
that's the only reason why I bring it up.
So are we 40 days out then? Is that what's
going on? I
think
it might be something like that. I think those are indicators.
Getting close. Yeah. I mean, it's a matter of less than 2 months.
Yeah.
So coming up, and it's a little bit later in the year this year. But,
yes.
But it was cool seeing the billboard going up because it hadn't been like stretched yet, you know, and there's a big old ladder and a dude up there. I snapped a picture. I'll post it on Insta for all of you guys that are on there. That way you can see it.
So that way we know its origin.
There you go. But it was so funny. I was getting off the freeway and I stopped, and coming across was all the cars, you know, kind of making that left turn.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because there was this big truck that had three cyber trucks on the back. That, you know, those big trucks that move cars and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's a sight. And so, I mean, just seeing the cyber truck on
was
the street.
Only cyber trucks?
Three cyber trucks. That's it.
Now, I have to ask you, when you see those trailers, this is what my mind always
the
truck? Does. The trailers with cars in them.
Okay, yeah.
Do you ever go, which one would I take?
Always. It's like, I'll take the BMW.
I do that all the time. Yeah. I drive by them. I'm like, which one would I take? Oh, yeah, I would for sure take that.
Unless it's like the Hyundai truck. And then I'm like, I would trade all that in, you know, and get something that I want, you know.
No offense. Obviously, this is not sponsored.
You know what, though? The Hyundai, the Palisade, we test drove that. And I would have bought it, except that, my 6-foot-plus son at the time, you know, he's now 6'3". But for him to sit in the way back, we were just like, this is not going to work, you know.
Well, then we know it's not for tall people in the far back.
It was so funny because we asked the sales rep, like, do you got anything that has more legroom? He goes, this is the biggest horse in the barn.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, the features on that thing, it was amazing. So I might take the Palisade if it's on the back of the high end. But three Cybertrucks, you know, it's seeing the Cybertruck in itself is kind of sight because it's not your average truck, you know?
Yeah.
But it was so funny because as I'm looking up at it, I caught like in my rearview mirror the face of the guy behind me.
Right.
And he's staring up at the thing. And I could tell he's locked in, you know, and just like this. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm like, don't you wish you could just listen to people's inner monologue? Like,
are you, like what is that disapproval? Is it like I want one of those? Is like,
yeah,
what a Cybertruck does. You have a thought about it one way or the other.
What? Yeah, either you love it or you hate it. I
like,
think
it's
you know
either the coolest thing.
There are like people that are like, one day I'm gonna have one, and then other people are like, that is a rolling dumpster. Right. Like, why did anybody drive that?
Yeah. Well, I've seen stuff like on social media that from like 1950s there was this other truck in another country, all like, and so it's just, you know,
well, the Volkswagen thing. I mean, that's kind of a
odd. It was just like this, the shape of it in general.
Yeah,
but overall, I mean, come on now, let's be real. If someone gave you the keys or the card, whatever a Tesla does, you don't get keys,
your phone,
probably
the
right?
App.
Like, yeah, you would drive off in it, right? At least for a little bit, right? Were they all the same? Were they the stock color? Or did
yeah,
they have
stock. It was all the stainless color. Oh, okay. You know, so yeah, I would drive it down to the dealership and trade it in for something I want. You know, so. That's just the way I think. Yeah, I'll take it.
For now.
For now, yeah, for a day or two.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Pastor, we just had some amazing, an amazing time here in recent weeks with the church. Or really, last week we had a missions conference. We had
amazing
pastors refreshing. And we had John Bevere, who is a guest. He's not a guest. He's Uncle John, right?
He's
to
family,
the house.
Yeah.
And we found out he'd been coming for 19 years.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, that is that's really cool.
Yeah.
And he's just continuing. And obviously he's seen your family grow up. He's talking about stories of.
Well, here's a story about John. The reason why we know 19 is because the very first time we invited John to come to The Rock.
Yeah.
Pastor Jim had him, and they were just kind of, when you host, you're going to lunch or dinner or whatever. We had just bought a house. Mm-hmm. And so we just got the keys. It was February, I think, right after Valentine's Day, February 15th or something like that. We just got the keys. My daughter, Chloe, had just turned 1 year old. Okay.
Yeah.
So she was learning to walk, she was walking, but, because this house had more carpet than our previous home, she was able to walk a lot better.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we know that. Well, what was so funny was Pastor Jim at the time was like, hey, I want to come see the house.
Yeah.
And so we're like, yeah, come on over. He's like, I've got John Bevere. And we're like, that's fine, even though we didn't know the guy. He's like, bring him, He came to our house, and what was so cool was, after we showed him all around, we stood in a circle in the living room and prayed over the house. And so John Bevere blessed my second home,
Cool. Yeah,
so that's
awesome.
Why we know like 19, because Chloe's 20 now. Mm-hmm. And so that would have been, after 1 year. So 19 years he's been coming to The Rock, and just a great man, great friend, and just has such revelation in so many areas.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, and one of the cool things, and this is going to be our topic for today, is that, we did a sermon series from the book of God, the book that he wrote, and he actually came and he taught he covered a few of the chapters from the book and encouraged the church to really get into the message some more. But it was one of those things, and that's what our topic of conversation today is. You can hear the same message, just like you can read the same scripture, and the Holy Spirit, in his goodness and his kindness, is going to speak and teach us something new and different.
Absolutely. I've been reading the Bible for now, I got saved at 15. I'm 45 now. Yeah. So for 30 years, I've just been studying the Word of God. Right. My pastor, Dr. Rich Hall, who goes to our church now, actually serves on our pastoral care team. Mm-hmm. So for those of you that, you're listening and watching, if you've put in a prayer request and Pastor Rich calls you, that was my pastor at age 15, which is such a cool thing for me. He challenged our church at the time, and he said, if you read 3 chapters of the Bible a day and 5 on Sundays, you'll get through the Bible in 1 year. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of us took that very seriously. In fact, if you've read the Rock Life magazine, there is a 1-year Bible reading plan from a guy who is in that church as well. His name is Rick Mordoff.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a thing called Know What Jesus Would Do. Okay. KWJ.
Instead of just what would Jesus do?
He's saying you can know what Jesus would do because you can read your Bible, right?
Yeah.
You can know the will of God. So he put that together, 1-year Bible reading plan. It takes a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of New Testament, a little bit of Psalms and Proverbs, and mixes it all together. That way you're not just like in Leviticus where it's talking about boils and sores and, all sorts of stuff that you don't want to talk about or just think about, So, anyways, it kind of helps Bible reading. So again, out of this one challenge to our church came my lifelong Bible reading, and I just go through it year after year. And then Rick Mordoff and others, Rick put this Bible reading plan together. But as I've gone through the Bible, I don't even know how many times I've gone through it over 30 years, just, I go through the Old Testament in the morning, New Testament in the evening. And there's still days where I'm like, God, when did you put that one in? That's new, right? It's not. It's just I've never seen it.
Right.
Last year I went through the Chronological Study Bible from the NLT. Yeah. I tell you, I was blessed.
Right.
Because it was just like seeing the chronological order. And I've done chronological studies before.
Right.
But for some reason, last year doing it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Even things this year to the point where I'm in the Chronicles and it's talking about how Solomon went to where the tabernacle was, but David had moved the ark to Jerusalem, and the tabernacle was still at the high place.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, for some reason, I'm like, duh.
Right.
I've read this so much. Why have I never put it together that the tabernacle was still standing over there?
Yeah.
But the temple was going to be built over here. Like,
yeah. Well, that's why it's so meaty, right?
Yeah.
Like, I listen to audio Bible at times, and so I'll be in the car and having the Bible, and then I'll just be like, oh, here's something I have to press pause. And I'm just meditating on half a scripture, that one scripture. And it's just like, like you're chewing on that thing for a while. It's like if you eat something too big, take too big a bite of something, you have to stop for a while. And that's what the word of God can do, because it's so like, oh my God. And we've read it, we've heard it, we've listened to it, we've heard messages on certain topics over and over and over. And that's kind of what we saw here with this awe of God. And I know we both had similar experiences at different points in the message from this past week, where John Bevere's talking about a topic and it's just like, I knew that. So, I mean, heck, I've even maybe preached some of that.
Well, think about this. Okay, so John Bevere, he's been writing for a long time. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called The Fear of the Lord. Mm-hmm. He wrote another book called Drawing Near.
Right.
And then he wrote another book called Hearts Ablaze, all right? Those three books are all basically a similar thread, okay? Yeah. They're not the same in the sense that, especially Drawing Near, really talks about approaching God and not drawing back away from God. And that's really when you think about the fear of the Lord, that it's not I'm so afraid of God that I'm gonna draw away from him. Mm-hmm. It's that I reverence him and I respect him so much, but I'm drawn to him.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was Matt Redman way back when had a album called The Friendship and the Fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That there's a duality of our relationship with God. We know that our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
And so for that we give him the respect, the awe. You know, I know Jesus even said, fear God who can kill the body and cast your soul into hell.
Yeah, yep.
That's a dread and a terror. But I'm not afraid of God in the sense that I'm going to run from him. No, I respect him and love him and am in such awe of him that I draw near to God. So I read those three books, gosh, probably 20 years ago, mm-hmm. you know, maybe probably more like 15, you know, something like that. So I read all three of those books. But then when I read The Awe of God, mm-hmm. it was all that material, but then, you know, from John's decades of experience, this is really his life message that he's put together in such a way that now it's like, wow, this is amazing, and there's new revelation. And then he comes and preaches it this week, and even though I've read the book, I've taught the book. I mean, we took our, like you said, we took our church through this on a Wednesday night series and really put in all the material that we could from from his notes.
Right.
He had this for pastors, so we took that, preached that. And yet this weekend, I'm like, whoa, you know, there's a new revelation.
Right. So what was the big nugget for you from this weekend?
Okay, so for me, let me grab out the scripture here. Isaiah 11, 2 and 3 hit me this time around. Okay, he's talking about the Spirit of the Lord. And there's a sevenfold understanding of the Spirit of God that Isaiah brings out. We see that also in Revelation, the seven spirits of God, right? Yeah. Around the throne. So it says this, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and he puts in parentheses Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And this is really what hit me, was that there's an aspect of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, because many times we think about he's the counselor.
Yeah.
Christ has been made unto us wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. God will give you wisdom if you ask, right? Knowledge, right? All these things, understanding. We many times think of the Spirit of God as those things because he's the teacher.
Right, right.
Okay?
Yep.
But it says, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. When I heard that, I started to pray, God,
give it to me. Come,
Spirit of the fear of the Lord, right? Because we can ask for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said that God will give you the Holy Spirit if you ask.
Right.
Without measure.
Right.
Right? He gives good gifts to his children. He gives liberally.
Yep.
So I was like, God, give it to me, right?
Pour it all out.
And the neat thing is it ends with his delight is in the fear of the Lord. So Jesus' delight was in the fear of the Lord. My delight needs to be in the fear of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. And again, I've read the book. It's in there, right?
Yeah.
You know,
it's
a part of it. And yet that just hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And like I said, just immediately praying. You know, like God, okay. That's a part of your spirit. I want it.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
So what does that, with all these gifts, and again, especially, I know he used that scripture, and we want the fear of the Lord in our life.
Yeah.
For all kinds of reasons, and even he's hit on it a lot this weekend. But what does that mean to you? What was that big thing? So when you're saying, I want it, what are you saying? What do you want?
I want a greater measure of the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, because if the Holy Spirit's going to lead me, he's a guide.
Mm-hmm.
That means that he's going to guide me into fearing God, okay?
Yep.
And so as I am guided and take that direction, then I will fear God.
Yep.
And then as I fear God, if it's God's delight and it's my delight, right? John concluded that message with friendship with the Lord,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that if we fear God, that God will share his secrets with us.
Right.
I want that intimacy with mm-hmm. God.
Yes.
Right? And so in order to have that intimacy, I have to have that fear.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, God, give me the spirit of the fear of the Lord so that I can delight in what you delight in. I can love what you love and hate what you hate.
Yeah.
You know, because I need to hate sin more. I need to be, you know, divided from those things that would divide me from God. Right?
Yeah.
Because again, I fear God and I want more of the fear of God. Right. So give me the spirit so I can follow your lead into the fear of the Lord so that I can become closer, more intimate, and a friend of God.
Yeah. And that was one of my bigger takeaways as well. Again, in hearing a lot of this, you hear that intimacy. And it's really informed me throughout this week, you know, in the beginning of do prayer walks or just kind of in talking with God in the morning. I'm just like, wait, I want intimacy. And then what does that Holy Spirit, what does that even mean? Like, I know I'm asking for it because I heard it in a message, and maybe you can help us with this because, you know, you'll preach or we'll hear a message and we're like, yeah, well, I want that because the preacher talked about it and it seemed to have made sense.
Sure.
But is it okay to ask the Holy Spirit, like, teach me what I'm asking for, right? Like, because I want it modeled. I understood in the moment. It's kind of like at school in the lecture, you get it, but then it's time to go home and like, wait, how do I apply this now on a different? He showed me with that example, right? We get the illustration. It made sense. But now this is actually happening in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I use this?
Yeah. This is a beautiful scripture where the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And he shares with him some deep understanding, some deep things, right? And at the end of it, he says, if you're confused about any of that, ask God in prayer, and he'll make that clear to you too.
Yeah.
And I think that's the neat thing about God is that God desires these things for us.
Right.
And if we're not getting it, again, the Holy Spirit is the teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you don't have to be like, hey, pastor, can you come and explain this to me? Mm-hmm. You can just say, hey, God, I need to get a hold of that.
Yeah.
How does that look in my life?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get the real world application of that, right?
Yeah.
So I think a good, for instance, yesterday morning, I was praying, you know, as I do every morning, I'm reading my Bible, praying. And as I'm praying, I'm just not, my heart isn't in my prayers. You know, it's almost like I'm praying because I know I need to pray.
Yeah.
And so I started a walk. Mm-hmm. And so I was doing prayer walk, you know, and as I'm heading out, you know, I'm just recognizing, man, my mind is wandering. You know, it's going towards different things, and I'm just like not quite there connecting with God in prayer.
Yeah.
But I'm still praying, you know. The great thing about it is that by the end of that walk, because I had focused in a direction, because I intentionally went after it, that even though I didn't have all the feels or, you know, any of that kind of stuff, by the end of that prayer walk, I was like, man, I want to keep praying.
Yeah.
You know, because why? I got into the presence of God. I drew near to God, and he drew near to me. And in that prayer time, there were things that were shared with me. I actually had some ideas for the ministry while I was praying. You know, it was just like things dropped on me that I was like, oh, why did I? Whoa, that's cool. You know, some good stuff.
An intimacy moment, right?
Is that, I think,
kind
so.
Of
yeah,
fruit of an intimacy moment. Like, hey, you're delighting in him, and here's some intimacy, and now I'm letting you in on my will, my way, my plan.
Absolutely.
But that wasn't the intent, right? I think it's kind of like, and I think that's where sometimes we can get on the side of, give me the formula. Oh, so I want intimacy for the secret. Because I came home and I shared with Angelina my takeaway, and she shared her takeaway. And my takeaway was this moment where I was like, like the example he gave with Lot and Abraham.
Mm.
Two saved people.
Yeah, yeah.
Two Christians. One was known as a friend of God. The other one was about to be slaughtered and had no idea.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to be the guy that had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the guy that had, I had insight. And actually, I had conversation with God around this might play out.
Yeah.
and she challenged me on the but you want intimacy for the intimacy's sake, right? Not so I can get the, be in the know, right? Versus I want to be in the know for gossip's sake, right? So I can, you know, so you want, it's the intimacy for the sake of just wanting to be close to God. And that that challenged my heart too. Mm. It's kind of like, you know, as preachers, am I studying for the message or am I studying because I want to hear from God? I want to be close to God, right? Am I wanting to get Holy Spirit download so I can be the sound great when I come on a podcast and share, this is what I got in this, or is it because, man, I needed that in my life.
Right.
And so for those of you listening, I think there's, a sense of, man, I no one would want to be used, right? Like, you wouldn't want people around you trying to get close to you, trying to get inside information, playing as a friend when really just using that information to say, hey, I hung out with Pastor Dan.
Sure.
Not really closeness, right? And I'd imagine right. God would be the same way in terms of, now he knows our hearts, but
yeah,
is there something about approaching God with intimacy for intimacy's sake?
Of course. You know, any we're made in God's image, mm-hmm. and any husband or wife wants their husband or wife
right.
to want to be close to them, spend time with them, not just for the sake of a yeah. physical aspect of the relationship, but because I want to be with you, mm-hmm. right? And so I think even with parents and children, same thing. You know, if a kid's coming up being all lovey-dovey and then you find out that they just want candy, you're like, yeah. you little stinker, you know, like... But the great thing about God is that he is a father, and yeah. even with our kids in the natural, if they're just coming close to us to get
yeah.
the candy, we still yeah. love them
right.
regardless, right? Yeah. And then we teach them and we train them to have a pure motive.
Right.
And that if you want candy, just ask,
yeah.
right? And
right.
and then we'll decide
that's good.
What's good for you. And I that's love good. The fact that God is so gracious, so merciful, so kind mm-hmm. even, and patient and long suffering with us while we mature and grow.
Yeah.
You know, and there may be motivations that stir us or move us mm-hmm. initially, like you said, I want to be in the know. I want to yeah. know the secrets of yeah. God that we start with.
Yeah.
But God understands the path that we're on, and in his wisdom will use even the foolishness of this world
yeah.
to confound the wise, right?
That's good.
So he may
right.
take something that starts out with an impure motive and train us, mm-hmm. teach us in his long suffering and kindness, and show us, hey, you don't want the secret.
Right.
You want me.
Right.
That's right. Good. And we'll find out that God is much greater than the secret.
Because
right.
I can mold that desire.
Yes.
Right? I'm glad that you have it. Let me mold it. And that's what God does.
Yeah, let me move you to where you need to be.
That's good.
And that's what a good parent does, right?
Yeah.
I see things in my children at times that I'm like, hey, that's not where you need to be.
Right.
You know, so let me help you grow to that
yeah.
place.
Yeah.
And God is a perfect father, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
He chastens us for our good.
Right.
He disciplines us. If not, we wouldn't be loved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's an aspect of his love that he leads us in those things, chastens us, corrects us.
Yeah.
You know, we don't like these words, right? Instruction, correction, discipline. We don't
yeah.
like those things.
Right.
And yet, we should learn to love those things mm-hmm. because they're what get us on track with God.
Yeah.
So yeah, we may, I want provision. I want healing. I want all these things that God has
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that come with God.
Yeah.
But we might be seeking the wrong thing, so we seek God to get the thing. But in that, God will show us, hey, your heart is off here.
That's good. I like that.
Get me. Mm-hmm. You'll get this with me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But even if you don't, guess what? You got me.
Yeah.
So you got everything you need.
That's so good, Pastor Dan. Yeah, that made me think of something else. It's a bit of a rabbit trail, but we'll come back.
Sure.
So, we, you know, you're talking in prayer time and some of these things and repetition. Do you find when you're on a prayer walk, it's helpful to say it out loud? Pray out loud.
Yeah, I try and pray out loud as
yeah.
much as I can. Years ago,
mm-hmm.
I'm not even sure when it was, I was reading through the Bible. I
yeah.
think it was with Abraham.
Right.
Because he was having a conversation with God.
Yeah.
And I realized, huh, these guys prayed out loud.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was like talking with God was a mm-hmm. was a verbal thing rather
yeah.
than just a mental thing. Because
yeah.
up until that point, I think my prayers were mostly mental unless mm-hmm. I was in a group setting.
Right.
So even when I was alone,
mm-hmm.
it was like, all here,
yeah.
you know, but something about Abraham's relationship with God struck me that I realized, oh, he's talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I endeavor for the most part to talk as much as I can.
Yeah.
And you know, if God's creative force comes through spoken word,
right.
God wasn't thinking it and things were created. He was speaking it and things
right.
were created. And so in the same way, when I pray, I'm praying to God, and then when I'm declaring the word of God, it's all out loud. I'm not
yeah.
just thinking scriptures.
Perfect.
I'm
yeah.
declaring scriptures, right? Because now the creative force that comes with the word of God,
mm-hmm.
it's that double-edged sword. In the Greek, it literally means double-tongued,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I'm speaking, but there's an agreement in heaven that God is speaking.
Yeah.
It's two tongues saying the same thing because
right.
God spoke the word. I'm coming in agreement with his word, and that power of agreement now cuts through the natural realm.
That's good.
And brings the will and the counsel of God into my life.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe it's important for us as believers to say things. Now, the big thing you got to get over, again, is your mental state that this is silly,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you got the devil rocking you. Why are you saying scriptures?
Right.
This is vain repetition, or you're not doing anything. It has no power.
Yeah.
All those things, because the devil, as soon as the seed is sown, will try and come and steal it away.
Absolutely.
But that's where we have to stay in faith and believe God that this is powerful. This is doing something in my life. So I try and pray as much as I can out loud for that reason. Mm-hmm. And as well, declaring scriptures and things like that. I do that out loud.
Yeah. Well, I was finding that on my walks in these mornings, you know, like walking around my neighborhood, and I would just kind of be there quiet. I'd even have some headphones in and worship music, and, you know, I'm just getting into something spiritual, right? But I would get distracted even in my own thoughts and my own prayers, and I would just go, oh, shoot, let me get back on track. And it wasn't until I was like, oh, shoot, I'm going to start talking, praying, thinking out loud.
Yeah.
And even this music, as spiritual as it is, as worship led as it is getting my mind racing in different places.
Right.
So I started doing it out loud, and I was able to stay more focused. Later that day, or a couple of days later, I was hearing some PhD doctor guy who was talking about from the scriptures, when you translate some of these scriptures, it was some of the meditation scriptures were actually talking about what you're saying, that these were being done, these repetition things were being said out loud, because one of the Greek or Hebrew terms meant with your breath.
Yeah.
And that there was power in that, and probably similar to what the
I think a great example
saying.
Of what you're saying is Joshua 1, is it 9? Eight.
Meditate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shall meditate in the word day and night. Mm-hmm. This book of the law shall not depart from your lips. You shall meditate therein day and night.
Yes.
Be careful to observe to do according to all that's written in it. Then I will make you prosperous and you'll have the greatest success. Yes. That word meditate could be literally translated mutter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To speak it out over and over again.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you're declaring those scriptures over and over again. And in doing so, you're hearing it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? So you're muttering the scriptures. You're speaking them over yourself.
Right.
So sometimes when I'm saying the scriptures, even on my prayer walks, I'm not like talking like this, like out loud. Sometimes I'm just whispering.
Yep.
Yeah, you shall meditate in the scripture day and night.
Yep.
Those things, even as I'm hearing it, I'm building faith, but also I'm putting that word out there. Other times I'm shouting it, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
And those are different times, you know.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think it's power. And then, you know, I know the world perverts stuff, manifesting and this. And
not doing none of that.
But it's the meditation. Like you said, the enemy will try to speak to you. And again, here I am in my neighborhood looking like the crazy guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't care.
I do stop on my prayer walks when people are walking towards me. I stop and I'm like, hey, good morning. How are you today? And then once they're out of earshot, then I go back to praying. But I mean, there's a hill that I go on that I get a good view of the Inland Empire that I spread my hands and I declare.
Yeah.
The Inland Empire shall be saved. And I always wonder if the neighbors like hear me. You know, oh, there's that guy again.
Yeah, no. Even
but
though,
it's the same spot. And I used to have a rock that I would stand on, but then the weeds covered it and, you know, like pokey bushes and all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to go.
No, that's good, Pastor. And speaking of kind of some of the repetition and hearing the same message, you're talking about now going back to even where we're at in scripture as we as a church go line upon line and go through the scriptures.
Yes.
We might find some of that. Go ahead and share some of that.
Well, even, coming into Romans, you know, we finished this great section about what's the big idea.
Yeah.
Now we're coming into a section where he asks about where's boasting then, you know? Mm-hmm. And we've covered this topic for a while.
Yeah.
And obviously we'll draw out an aspect. I believe I'm going to head towards, you know, pride and some of those things that we all deal with on some level.
Bring your extra layer.
Save some amens, but there's going to be a lot of omis, you know? So, but yeah, I mean, those are things that we definitely are going to deal with and things like that. So, we can, you know, take a look at those things as we get in there and there will be some things that themes that are repeated, you know, especially as we get into Romans, 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah. Oh,
But we'll do our best to encapsulate those things, but it's good for us to remember those things. 2 Peter 1, Peter's writing to the churches and to the people, and he says, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I'm in the tent of this body. I know I'm soon going to cast it aside. And he says, even though you're firmly established in the truth that you already have, I think it's right to refresh your memory.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for us to refresh. So,
No, that's good, Pastor. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
I think we need to refresh on a word.
Okay, let's go.
So in Romans, we talked about a word called justified, and we sang a song about it, and now look at this. I mean, are you kidding me?
I love it.
So our graphics department, this Shane Parker, you guys have heard me talk about it. Look, he's even got like the Rock Church and World Outreach Center logo in the
the tag
where the tag is. Tag covers it up a little bit, but yeah, you got Justified, and then like any good tour short.
Oh wow, look at that.
Okay, Righteous Tour.
Way. That is
He's
awesome.
Got scriptures going all down there. So I don't know.
So is that the name of your single up there, Justified?
Justified. Yeah, there it is, right there. So
we should put that on Spotify somewhere.
There you go. So anyways, these are not for sale. These will not be.
It's a one of one right there.
Yeah, this is a one off. So anyways, just wanted to show off, and I just love
that
use
so
the rock and roll text, which some of you guys know. The band that uses that kind of a text. But anyways.
That's awesome, Pastor.
Fun stuff.
This week's sponsor, I'm just going to take this one, is none other than Small Groups.
Small Groups.
This upcoming weekend, on March 8th and 9th, we are having our expo.
Wonderful.
Which we recently had a volunteer expo, which we exhibited some of our ministries and potential places where people to get connected and involved.
Yeah.
Well, the Small Groups Expo, similarly, we're going to be showing off some of our groups where people can get involved and connected, get in a relationship, and have some of these relationships as well.
Excellent.
And so we have some fun ideas for that. We have a new group, a motorcycle group, and they're going to be out there with the bikes.
Maybe they'll get some gear.
So check that out. Be sure to stick around and find out where you can get involved, where maybe there's a group for you, or maybe if you don't see that group, where we're going to have a special table where that's your sign to start one. That's what we say. Like if you see something out here that, or you see something that you want that's not out here, maybe that's
underwater basket weaving.
There we go.
Yeah.
Group. That used to be my dad's way of saying, like, when I took an elective in college, like, what are you taking? You know, like, take something challenging, or BB stacking. Do you remember that?
Oh my gosh.
You know, like, what are you taking? BB stacking. Underwater basket weaving.
There you go.
That's
a
nod, right? A throwback. But anyways, guys, we are so grateful as always. Man, at the Rock Church and Word Outreach Center, we know God is on the move. I'm sure God is on the move wherever you're at. And maybe this is your house, and we're so blessed that you are here with us. Share, like, subscribe, comment. We want to hear some feedback. We're that one-year anniversary podcast.
What do you want to see?
Special for that. Anyways, until next time, see you soon.